We prayed and asked God, would you do things in you can take credit for? That's been our prayer. It's still our prayer today. It's a prayer of dependency. We're declaring to God on our own, we can't do what you call us to do, but you can, right? You can do it in and through us. In church, we've seen the Lord do so much, and I is because we've been prayerfully dependent on him. When we look at the New Testament and to the early church, we see Acts 1:8. Jesus gives the great commission. He gives that mission to go and be his witnesses, to go and share the gospel, who Jesus is, that he is Lord and Savior, to tell others that Jesus came to be with us, to know him and to follow him. And I love what they do. They receive the mission. And in verse 14, it says that they gathered together in the upper room as God's Jesus followers, and they were united in prayer, fully dependent on God. And then in Acts chapter 2, we see Peter, after Jesus has ascended, he gets up and he preaches that first message, and he calls people to repent. He calls people to surrender to Jesus as their Lord. The Bible says about 3,000 people were saved that day. And Acts 2:42 tells us that they became that new church. And it tells us about this new church. It doesn't say, I need you guys to hear me, it doesn't say that they were devoted to a certain music or a certain setup, or they weren't devoted to be in the trendiest church, or they weren't devoted to certain programs. It says they were continually devoted to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. They were all about teaching and preaching and applying God's word to their life. They were devoted to one another. They were devoted to partnering together in God's mission, and they were devoted to prayer. And that means individually and as a church family, they were continually, for 30 days, but they were continually devoted to seeking God in prayer because they knew something. And that was that without God, they couldn't do anything that God wanted them to do. And so they were prayerfully dependent on him. About 10 months, I felt the Lord leading me personally, but also calling and leading our church to a deeper dependency on him, to pray continually, more intentionally, and more desperately for God to move and to do things in my life, but also in and through our church. And so that leads us to these 30 days of prayer. Over the last few months, I asked others in our church to join me in praying about how to live it out. And as you've seen, we began our Friday, we began 30 days of prayer. And we're asking everyone to be united and committed and devoted to praying. And so each Sunday, we're going to be opening God's word and then seeking him in prayer. We're gathering to pray at 9:45. If you weren't able to make it this morning, had a good group on the stage into the door right here. And so we're praying prior to our worship service for what God's going to do in here, but also in kids' life. We're praying in our life groups. We're going out praying in the communities out into our mission field. And I believe that we are that seeks the Lord regularly as he leads us. But these next 30 days is just a deeper and more intentional time for us as a church family to call out to God for what he's doing here, and praying for the community and those that are lost around us, and praying to be at work and to do big things here, right, as we continue to pursue him and grow in our walk with him and share his life-changing gospel. And so I've asked Charles Blair to come and pray for us as we begin this 30 days of prayer, and then we're going to dive into the word this morning. So Charles, would you lead us in prayer?
Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you today, and Father, we come before your throne of mercy and grace. We come believing that you are Almighty God, Sovereign Lord, the God who spoke all creation, and that you, at that same God, has saved us. And we believe, Father, as you say in your word, that not only that you are who you say you are, but that you are a rewarder of those who diligently seek you. And that's what we're doing. Father, we've began this 30 days of dedication to prayer on Friday, even though we've believed in prayer all the time, we've believed in you. And we pray, Father, that you, this time, that you would help us, Father, first and foremost, to seek your forgiveness in our own individual lives and as the body of Christ here at Authentic Life Church. Forgive us, Father, of any sins in our lives back from being completely devoted to you. Prepare our hearts for this time. And then, Father, we seek you out according to your word with things that we have focused on and directed to bring to you, because we trust in you and we believe that you will do in and through us things that only you can take credit for, and will give you the glory, the honor, and the praise that is due your name. We are excited to come to you and see you in a mighty way. Not only in our lives, but in the lives of our families, our friends, our relationships, the community around us, through this church and the things that we are doing in your name. We seek your mission. We seek your will. For you to have your way when it comes to the church, our worship, kids' life, our ministries that you have placed us in. We're trusting completely in you. Bless the worship service. Touch us through your word that will be spoken through Pastor Jeff. And Father, we love and trust in you and cannot wait to see what you're going to do through the prayers we submit to you, completely trusting in you, that you are exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or that we even think. Thank you right now for what you will do. Amen.
Yeah. Normally, through a book of the Bible, verse by verse, and we just got done doing that, where we walk through the book of James verse by verse. But this morning, we're starting 4 weeks really diving in and seeing what God has for us and praying together. And as we begin our study in the book of Exodus. Exodus is the second book in the entire Bible. You got Genesis and then Exodus. And we come to a place in the life of God's people and in the life of Moses where we see them call out God in dependency and in desperation for God. And that's what prayer is. It's us declaring that we need God. It's us recognizing that we were created to walk and talk with him and to be led by him and to be with him. And so when we pray, we're making it known that we, that's what we're doing. And so I want to give us a little bit of a background. I love this passage because it gives us the why. It gives us the why we need to pray as we walk through these next 30 days. I think it gives us 4 reasons to pray. And so a little bit of background while you guys are turning there. We're going to be in Exodus chapter 33. Exodus chapter 33, beginning in verse 1. We're going to go through verse 18. So go ahead and turn there this morning. As you're turning there, here's what's going on before we get to at the beginning of Exodus. We see God use Moses to bring his people out of Egypt, out of bondage, out of slavery, and then God leads them to the Red Sea, right? We know that story, right? It's cartoons have got it, like Charlton Heston, right? Charlton Heston. Okay, all right. Got to get that right. But, you know, God leads them to the Red Sea, and as they're there, they see Pharaoh's army and say, man, I don't want them to leave, and they're coming back to Egypt to bring them back into slavery. But God, what does he do? He splits the sea so that his people can walk through, not on mud, but on dry land. And as they get to the other side, they've seen God's protection as they watch the waters come down. Soldiers. And in that moment, the Bible tells us that they were really in awe. They had a holy fear for the Lord and they trusted him. And then as they continued to travel, God continues to show his love and his provision for them. He brings down food from heaven for them to eat. He divinely provides water for them in the desert for them to drink. And then God uses Moses to lead them to Mount Sinai, where God reveals himself with this consuming fire. And this is where God gives his law and he gives the first tabernacle where God will meet his people. So church, God has shown himself over and over again to his people that he's God. He's shown himself to be all powerful and all loving. He's provided for them everything they needed and he continues to. But then in Exodus chapter 32, right before our passage, while Moses is up on the mountain meeting with God, we see something happen with the people. They get tired of waiting on Moses. And in their sin, they decide that it was a good idea to create a false idol. They create a golden calf out of the jewelry they were wearing. And when they create this golden calf, church, they bow down and they just made. And they made sacrifices to it. And because of this, they will now face God's judgment. And Moses, on behalf of his people, he seeks God. And in his time, right, with God, Moses, we see four reasons to pray. Moses gives us these four reasons as to why we should pray as God's people. Now, I'm not using this text because we've gone out and created a gold calf, okay? Don't read into that more than it is. But what we're going to see is God is going to use this time, Moses is going to use God and give us four reasons as to why we should pray. And so let's read this passage together. Normally, I'd have a stand to honor God and his word, but I think we can do that by just reading it together. You guys follow along as I read. But here's what it says, Exodus chapter 33. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, "Depart, go up from here, you and the people whom you have brought up from the land of Egypt to the land of which I swore to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, saying, 'To your descendants I will give it.' I will send an angel before you, and I will drive the Amorite, the Hittite, the Perizzite, the Hivite, and the Jebusite. Go up to a land flowing with milk and honey, for I will not go up in your midst, because you are an obstinate people." That means a stiff-necked people. "And I might destroy you on the way." Heard this sad word, they went into mourning, and none of them put on his ornaments. Verse 5, "For the Lord had said to Moses, 'Say to the sons of Israel, you're an obstinate, you're a stiff-necked people. Should I go up in your midst for one moment? I would destroy you. Now therefore, put off your ornaments, I may know what I shall do with you.' So the sons of Israel stripped themselves of their ornaments from Mount Horeb onward. Now Moses used to take the tent and pitch it outside the camp, a good distance from the camp, and he called it the tent of meeting. And everyone who go out to the tent of meeting, which was outside the camp, and it came about whenever Moses went out to this tent, that all the people would arise and stand each at the entrance of his tent and gaze after Moses until he entered that tent. Verse 9, whenever Moses entered the tent, God would descend and stand at the entrance of the tent, and the Lord would speak with Moses. When all the people saw the pillar of cloud standing at the entrance of the tent, all the people would arise and worship each at the entrance of his own tent. Thus the Lord spoke to Moses face to face, just as a man speaks to his friend. When Moses returned to the camp, his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, would not depart from the tent. Then Moses, in verse 12, then Moses said to the Lord, 'See, bring up this people, but you yourself have not let me know whom you will send with me. Moreover, you have said, I have known you by name, and you have also found favor in my sight. Now, therefore, I pray you, if I found favor in your ways, that I may know you, so that I might find favor in your sight. Consider, too, that this nation is your people.' And he," God said, "'my presence shall go with you, and I will give you rest.' Then he said to him, 'If your presence does not, or do not lead us up from here, for how then can it be known that I found favor in your sight, I and your people? Is it not by your going with us, so that I and your people may be distinguished from all the other people who are upon the face of the earth?' The Lord said to Moses, 'I will also do this thing of which you have spoken, for you have found favor in my sight, and I have known you by name.' Then Moses said, 'I pray you, show me your glory.'" There's a lot in that text, and we're going to unpack as we walk through this text and we see how Moses prays and talks with the Lord. I want us to see four reasons as to why we pray. Four reasons that will guide us as we seek God individually and as a church over the next 30 days. Because Moses is going to God in a special circumstance, right? We're not out there like Moses isn't up on the mountain getting the law from him, right? We're not in this scenario. So Moses is in a special circumstance, but in it, we see an example of prayer. When he cries out to God, he shows us the why as to why we pray. So four reasons as to why we pray here at Authentic Life. Number one is this. On the back of your bulletins is your notes. We pray to express our and our deep need for God. We pray to express our dependency and deep need for God. When we look at the first three verses of this passage, God tells Moses, he says, "Moses, here are my promises. right? Here are the promise to your forefathers. Here are the promises that I'm going to give to you. God says, go and have these promises. He says, I'm going to send an angel before you. I'm going to remove the obstacles out of your way. I'm going to remove the enemies out of your way. I'm going to give you the land to go to, the land flowing with milk and honey. I'm going to give you all of these promises. But I'm not going with you because of your sin against God. Because they were living their lives as though they didn't need God. As though they didn't trust God. As though they didn't want God. As though they didn't love God. God says, okay, here are my promises without my presence. Go, have the gifts, but I will not be with you. Church, they have seen God provide for them, protect them. They've been led by God. They've been loved by God. They have seen that God is truly the lived as though they didn't need to trust him, as though they didn't love him, as though they didn't need him. And we see the same thing today in many lives of Christians and in some churches today. There's evidence all around us that God is at work and that God is leading providing. We've seen that he is Lord, but yet too often in our own lives as Christ followers, too often in churches, we can be tempted to live as though we don't need him. As though we don't trust him. As if we can do his ministry without him. Church, that's not just that church. That's not just that believer. That's not just the people of Israel. That's a temptation that exists for all of us in our personal lives and in all of our church speakers that can speak and draw in a crowd. We have this music that draws in the crowd. We have amazing programs that draw in the crowd. We promote things online. We can cast them on the internet. We promote and we do things and we've got all of these resources, but if we can do them apart from his presence. In our culture, dare I say, especially in the United States of America, we have resources. We have money, we have buildings, we have conferences, we have all of these. They're not bad things. My money's not bad, conferences aren't bad, buildings aren't bad. All these things, resources are not bad, but if we're not careful, these things can lead us to live and do ministry as if we don't need God anymore. He gave us those things, right? We need to know that Jesus says that apart from me, Christian, right, you can do nothing. There's nothing of any eternal value that you or I or this church or even the biggest and most resource apart from God. In fact, when we look at the New Testament, we see churches full of people that have no resources. And what does God do? God uses them to turn cities upside down with the gospel of Jesus Christ. We see churches in the New Testament with and what are they doing? They're helping fund and support ministries and missionaries. How? Because God provides for them to do all that. We see God at work in churches in the New Testament that have a lot, that have a little, because it isn't about what we have, it's about who we have, church. Never forget that at Authentic Life Church. It's not about what we have, it's about who we have. Church, on our own, without the presence of God, we can do nothing. But with the power of the Holy Spirit of God, God can do more than we ever imagined here at Authentic Life Church. The question is do we believe that? Do you and I truly believe that God can do more than we could ever do on our own? We could have all the money, we could have the resources, we could have a building, we could have the best speakers and singers and the best ministry, but without the power of God, without his presence, we cannot accomplish what God has called us to do. We might as well turn into a country club. Amen, church, right? We can try to be self-dependent and to do things out of our own strength and in our own abilities, but church, that only leads to do things out of self-dependence, out of our own strength and out of our own abilities, that leads to human results. But with the presence of God, we get God-sized results. And so if we believe this, first response must always be to pray. When it comes to reaching people with the gospel, we pray. When it comes to preaching and teaching the word of God, we pray. As we care for and love one another, we pray. As we serve, we pray. As we do kids' life, we pray. As we make decisions as a church, whatever it is that God's leading us to do, our number one response must be to pray, church. It's not to form a committee. It's not to create a program, but to pray first. right? We like our committees, amen? Like we just do. We like our food, Jeff. I told somebody in the back, I said, I think he just called me fat, you know, back in the back. But pray fully dependent on God to do what only he can do. Because if we are not a praying church, then we are a powerless church. But a church devoted to prayer is a powerful church. Because a praying church is a church that's fully dependent on power of God and fully dependent on the presence of God. When we look at the book of Acts, we see that Jesus' followers, we see the early church, they were devoted to prayer. Acts 1:14, we already looked at this before, but it says they were continually united in prayer, fully on God. In Acts 2:42, they were continually devoted to prayer. And then throughout the rest of Acts, what do we see? We see God's people pray and then God moves, church. Right? We see God move in and through them in powerful ways. From the beginning of Authentic Life Church, we have prayed for God to do things that only he can take credit for. And you know what we've seen? We've seen many people rescued from hell. We've seen many people saved by Jesus. We've seen many people baptized both in people's lives. We've seen opportunities to love and serve those around us. We've seen God open doors we didn't even know were there. We've seen the Lord do so much. But church, I believe God wants to continue to do amazing things in and through our church. I truly believe God wants more things than he's ever done before here. Church, God doesn't do things by accident. Charles prayed earlier that he's a sovereign God. You know what that means? He has placed you and me and our church in one of the most lost and United States of America. And he has rescued you and saved us and placed us where we have. Why? Not so that we can just do life as normal, so that we can spread the gospel and see lives change, change that only Jesus can do. Church, there's so much opportunity for God. But church, we need to know that greater things, mightier things will not happen. They cannot happen if you or I are in control. Because with human control and with human effort, again, we get. But God can do far more abundantly beyond all that we could ever ask or imagine. And so let us pray daily, regularly, and express our need for him. Let us consistently pray desperately for him, fully dependent on him. Let us pray continuously for his power, for his plans, and for his strength. Church, we can have meetings and talk about all that we want to happen. You know, we start talking about adding life groups, praise God. We start talking about our amazing kids' life. We talk about the land that we're looking at, future building, all this other kind of stuff, church. But we can talk all that we want about what we want to happen and that what we want to continue to happen, but it must begin by you and I being fully dependent on God in prayer. You know what? More than we want buildings, more than we want, you know, land, more than we want anybody else. I want people to see and know Jesus and be saved by Jesus and become part of the church to be used by God. Amen, church? That's got to be our focus. If it's not, we've got the wrong focus. And when we look at our text today, Moses gets it. Moses knew they needed not just the gifts and the resources and the promises of God, but more importantly, Moses knew that they needed the presence of God with them, leading them and walking with them. And so he sought God. In verses 7 through 11, he went to the tent of meeting to pray to God. Verse 12 through 13, it says, then Moses said to the Lord, see, you say to me, bring up this people, but you yourself, God, have not let me know whom you will send. Moreover, you have said, I have known you by name, and you have also found favor in my sight. Now, therefore, I pray you, if I found favor in your sight, let me know your ways so that I may know you, so that I may find favor in your sight. Consider, too, that this nation is your people. They belong to the Lord. I remember a video that Jason and his life group put together last year where he interviewed people and they were just saying, my name is so-and-so and I belong to Jesus. There's not a better testimony than that, church. But remember, God told Moses, go ahead, go to this land, receive the promises I have for you, but I'm not going with you. Our temptation. God says, you will not have my presence with you. But Moses knew that it was God that led them and provided for them and brought them out of Egypt and set them apart for his glory. He knew that without God, without his presence with them, Moses and their people anything. Moses knew that they could not do what God had for them without God. You know what? For them, they have rebelled against God. They were sinning against God. They were living as though they didn't trust or need God. And God said, because of that, I'm not going with you. And so on their behalf, on the people's behalf, Moses seeks God and he prays. And in verse 14, Moses, he prayed and he prayed and he prayed and he said, we aren't going anywhere without you, God. He prayed until he hears from God's response. And he said, my presence shall go with you. That's a good word, church. Amen. My presence shall go with you and I will give you rest. Then he, Moses, said to him, if your presence does not go with us, do not lead us up from here. Like Moses. Right? He says, I'm going to go with you. He says, but if you don't send us. Right? That's why we pray, church. We pray because we need God. We need his presence. We need him to lead us. We need him with us. Church, we pray daily. We pray weekly. We pray not because it's the religious thing to do, because we need God. Let's not overcomplicate it. To have stuff and talent and resources, all those are great, but we need God. David in Psalm 63 is out in the desert running. What? He's saying, man, I wish I had all these things, but I need you, God. And I'm okay because I have you. Church, if we believe this, that we need God, then our prayer life will reflect this. If you look into a mirror of who you are, of how you look, of what you're wearing. My wife sometimes will look at my clothes and say, did you look in the mirror today? Why are you laughing, man? If we look in our spiritual mirror, we can say all we want. We truly believe that we need God. But if our prayer life does not reflect that, we don't believe it. And so let's be a church that prays, continually expressing our need for God. Moses said it right. God, if your presence doesn't go with us, do not lead us from here because we must have you. So at ALC, why do we pray? To express our dependency and our deep need for him. Second, we pray to experience intimacy with God. I know when I say that, men get all clammed up and like, I don't want to talk about intimacy, right? Church, we were created to have intimacy with God. Whether you like it or not, we were created to have that. We were created to walk with him, to communicate with him, to be with him, to be loved by him, to love him. And when we pray, we are experiencing that close intimacy that we were created. If you're rejecting that intimacy with God, you're rejecting the way God made you, right? The intimacy is knowing that we belong to him. When we pray, we're close to him. And when we pray, we are with him. We're spending that time with him, church. And when we pray, we see this intimacy. And Moses lives out this intimacy in verse 8 through 11. We see Moses, he goes out to the tent and everyone. By the way, this isn't just like we saw on the chart, right? There are thousands and thousands and thousands of people, and all of them would come outside their tent and they would stand outside and they would watch as Moses went to meet with God. Not to go have a religious moment, not to go check, meet with the holy creator God that's in charge. And God placed this pillar of cloud right outside the tent, showing that he was there with Moses. And Moses talked with the Lord. The Bible says face to face talks to one another. What? Like, this is good stuff, right? Moses was having this personal time with God. He's taking requests and concerns and he worshiped God. He was with God, church. You know, it's so funny, and we just say the same thing we always say, and it's like, okay, let's just get this over with, right? But he's with God. Church, that's who Jesus is. When Jesus came, the Bible says in Matthew 1 that Jesus came to be Emmanuel. Church, Emmanuel means. Matthew 28, Jesus promises to be with those that he saves. He promises to be with us to the end of the age. And when Jesus died on the cross, the Bible tells us that the veil was torn. It was ripped in two. Why is that important? We sing about it. But here's what this means. The veil being torn was huge. It shows that because of Jesus, because we're religious, not because we deserve it, because of Jesus hanging on the cross and dying and paying for our sins, when we trust in Jesus, we are adopted into the family of God and we have immediate access to God through prayer. That's right. Church, I don't know how you started your day today, but for me, this morning, I was able to pray and meet with my Creator, God, and talk to God and experience being with Him. I didn't just wake up and say, God, I'm going to say these words to you today so I can get on with my day. I met with God. I don't think y'all understand what I'm saying here. Like, I met with God. Like, ask God about that. I can't help you, right? Like, I hung out with Jesus this morning. You and I have this privilege to do this all the time whenever we want. You don't have to go through a priest or through a pastor. Thank God for that, because my schedule is like 3 weeks out at this point, y'all. Y'all are just stuck without. No, I'm just kidding. You get what I'm saying? Like, we have immediate access to God whenever we want. When Jesus teaches us how to pray in Matthew 6, Jesus, He says, our Father who is in heaven. Church, we have the privilege to pray to our loving, perfect Father, holy God that is in heaven. That's who we talk to. I think about my up on my lap and just want to have a conversation with me. Even more intimate that with that, we talk to the Creator of this world. Jesus says that God knows what we need before we even ask Him. He knows you, church. He wants you to spend time with Him. David in Psalm 139 says that God encompasses everything about us and He is with us. Church, we were made to have a close, personal, intimate relationship with Him. And when we pray, we're experiencing that. We're talking with Him. We're listening to Him. Prayer is about knowing God and experience that intimacy, that close. Anybody ever have a rough day? Okay, half of us. The rest of y'all, I'm going to hang out with you a little bit. Man, I just had like a rough day. And I knew it was time for me to have my Jesus time. It was time with the Lord. And I started my study, my personal study in Joshua. You ever been discouraged, church? I have. Last week I was discouraged and God brought me to Joshua. And He says to Joshua, be strong and courageous. Don't be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you. Wherever you go, He's with you. I needed to hear that. It's exactly what I need to be reminded of and assured of. He's with me, church. Like, He's with us. Amen. Like, and so we pray to express our need for Him. We pray to experience intimacy with Him. And third, to be a part of what God is doing. We pray to be a part of His plan. We pray to participate. In this passage, Moses is talking to God about participating in God's plan for God's people. Because of sin and rebellion and a lack of trust toward God, but I'm not going to go with you. And so Moses met with God and he cried out to God. And look at verse 17. The Lord said to Moses, I will also do this thing of which you've spoken, for you found favor in my sight and I've known you by name. Church, Moses prayed and God answered. Can I say that again? Moses prayed and God answered. Moses knew that for them to be used by God, then God must be with them. That's what set Moses' people apart. God was with him. That's what sets us apart when we know Jesus, is that He's with us. And Moses cried out to God, we want you. We want to be with you and we want to accomplish, God, what you want to accomplish. Moses could have gone and received the promises, but without God, they could not have accomplished what God wanted them to do. Moses wanted God's promises, but he wanted His presence even more. He also wanted to be a part of what God was doing. Moses knew that they were set apart for God's glory and to accomplish God's will and to be used by God. Church, I say this all the time, but if Jesus didn't have a plan for our life and didn't want to use you, He would have taken you to heaven. Come on. We were set apart for God's glory to accomplish His will and to be used by God. And again, we look back to the book of Acts. Jesus promises the Holy Spirit of God to be with them, to do what God called them to do. He even says it before. He says, the Holy Spirit's going to be with you. He's going to empower you. And then he gives them the plan. And that church did over and over again to be used by God to participate in what God is doing. And this is something, church, that we're going to look at over the next 3 weeks about being used by God and being a part of what God is doing. And so we can't spend too much time here today because we're going to talk a lot about it over the next few weeks. Pray over these next 30 days. Church, hear me. We want to pray for God to use us. We want to pray for God to lead us and direct us. God, use us to see people come to know Jesus. Use us to share your love and your gospel. Use us to serve and love the community around us. Use us to grow in their walk with Christ. Use us to turn Tucson upside down with the good news of Jesus. God, we want to be a part of what you're doing, and we want to participate in your plan, not ours. Church, God desires to spread the good news. He desires to be glorified through his church. He desires to reach the nations through his church. He desires to serve those in need and to help others grow in their walk with Jesus through his church. And so when we pray to be a part of what church. We get on our knees and we pray for God to use us. We don't deserve to be used by God. We're not doing God a favor when we get up and help set up the church. We don't do God a favor when we give our tithes and offerings. We don't do God a favor when we come up here and sing or preach. Glorify God to be a part of what he's doing. I know it's hard to understand this, but God doesn't need us. He chose us. He wants us, and he wants to use us. So why do we pray? We pray to express our need for him, to experience being with him. We pray to be a part of what he is doing. You know what that means? I think about these surrender things. By the way, surrender, by the way, daily deny ourselves, surrender to him. But this also means that we surrender our comforts. We surrender our own will for his. To know and experience the glory of God more. It's the last one in your notes. We pray to know and experience the glory of God more. Look at verse 18. Then Moses said, I pray you, show me your glory. Don't miss this. Experience God speak to him through a burning bush that never burnt up. That's kind of a big deal. Right? I know like Disney puts the show out there and we're like, oh, cool. That's neat. No, that's a big deal. God split the seas, dry the land, and protect his people. Moses experienced being alone with God on the mountain. Moses experienced God providing for his people. Moses experienced God's presence personally. But do we see what he says to God here? He says, I want to know you more. I want to see your glory. Now, Moses didn't fully know what he was asking for, because to get a full glimpse of God and all of his glory, it would have ended Moses' life right there. To see glory of God is too much for us, but God did let him see it. But church, Moses had tasted the goodness of God. He had experienced God move, love, work, and use him, and he desired more and more and more. Church, sometimes we get comfortable. God, okay, you did a work anymore. God, you've been glorified, and we don't desire it anymore. God, you've done things in and through us, and then we stop desiring it. Are you with me, church? Man, to see God in his glory even more. Church, we pray ultimately to get a glimpse of the glory of God. Glorified, not us. We pray that the world would know and bow down and worship the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We pray for God's will to be done in your life, in my life, and in the church, in Tucson, in this world. It's not just about you and your home. It's about the world. We pray because we want more and more of God. We want to see him and know him and to be used by him and to see his glory more and more and more. We want the world to see his glory. We're praying over these next 3 years and personally because we want to express that we need God. If you believe that, your life will change. Your prayer life will change. If you don't believe it. It's just a reality. Because you're not, then we're going to believe that our comfort is more important than our time with God. or our schedule or other things are more important than our time. Are you with me, church? Our life, our prayer life will reflect whether we believe that or not. So we pray because we're going to experience God. We pray because we want to experience that closeness with him. We pray because we want to be used by him and we want to see his glory. Over the next few weeks, we're going to gather and open God's word and continue to pray. Church, I cannot wait to see what God does in your life, what he does in my life, church, through this time of unity and devotion as we pray. Speaking of praying, let's pray.